Thank you. Good morning. This is Amy Wirth. It is my pleasure to call to order the meeting of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission for Wednesday, February 25th. First, I'd like to turn to our secretary to confirm that we have a quorum.
Confirming quorum.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rosie. Next item from the chair. Couple of news in terms of technology. There will be, beginning in late March, the commission and committee packets will be delivered electronically using the Granicus system. Packet comments will be available for nearly all internet-connected devices, including PCs, laptops, iPads, and the agency will provide an iPad to any commission members that need one. For the month of April, MTC staff will offer the paper product as well as the electronic packet. And in May, staff will deliver committee and commission packets by electronic means only. So during the month of March and April, MTC technology services staff will be providing training for commissioners. And I know that there are a lot of commissioners here that are already using electronic agendas and staff reports in there. So those of you that are familiar with this can help the rest of us figure out how to do it. But anyway, as always, paper copies of necessary documents will continue to be provided to the public as requested. So moving into the new age and saving a few trees along the way. So, and I'm assured that one of the elements of this is it allows you to take notes on packets, because I know a lot of commissioners use the packets as a way of taking notes of public comment or their own comments. So I think that's going to be part of the system. So next item is on Saturday, February 7th, MTC, in partnership with the Air District, hosted the second Youth for the Environment and Sustainability Conference, or YES Conference, at the Metro Center. And I had the great pleasure of welcoming the students to the conference. And the conference goal is to bring the youth of the Bay Area together to discuss pollution, transportation, and climate change. And it was a tremendous success. There were over 125 young people in this room, and you can imagine the energy and the enthusiasm that was generated here. It was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful event. And the program was filled with opportunities for students to share their schools or their communities' programs to encouraging walking, biking, carpooling, or taking transit to school. And there were two very inspiring keynote speakers, as well as dozens of youth presenters on topics ranging from safe routes to schools to bike repair to leadership and advocacy. And clearly, these students are engaged. It was a delight to see them. The two speakers, one speaker from San Jose, who's supported the wonderful bike recreation program, and another key speaker who really generated a lot of enthusiasm on the part of the students. So staff, I just really wanted to share this with you so you could see firsthand the enthusiasm of our young future leaders, because it was so great. So we have a video that I would love to show you and to be able to share with you firsthand what the day was like. Hit that? Okay.
So on behalf of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, it is my great pleasure to welcome you to this conference.
I really do think that there's lots of people who want to make a change, and we're going to make a change.
It's a busy, busy schedule. You're going to have to make choices about what to do, what are the coolest workshops and stuff. I promise you that as you get to know each other today and learn stuff, the optimism that I hold that our planet is going to be beautiful and healthy and alive is because of people like you.
Where are you going to be? Where is the Earth going to be in 15 years, in 25 years?
I was downstairs at the workshop and we were talking about the acidification of the ocean.
We look to you to look forward to the future, to provide the energy and the enthusiasm and the passion.
People participate and make this event happen not because they think it will lower their carbon footprint or change the world, but because it is inordinately extremely fun.
Young people can be effective leaders in the fight against air pollution and climate change, an issue that will affect your generation in ways that we are only beginning to understand.
I think that if we get enough people to really put out an effort, we can make a difference and we can make change.
Thank you truly from all the people at all the different agencies that work on here. Spread it. Spread the love.
Yeah! Well, there we go. That's a winner.
Great. You know, we have a staff that is so devoted to this organization, and this conference really shows that staff that went above and beyond to spend their work with the students to generate the enthusiasm. It was wonderful Marin County high school teacher that was so instrumental in creating the energy and facilitating the day. But our staff really worked hard to make this conference so special. All the public affairs staff members who were here on their Saturday and worked a lot to bring students from all over the region. And I just really want to thank them all for their incredible devotion to this. And really engaging students is such important work that we do. And it was a great day. And I want to thank the commissioners, too, who reached out to student leaders and teachers in your counties to be able to make sure that we had participation from all over the Bay Area. So kids came from far and near, and we're really thrilled, and we look forward to growing this conference. But you can imagine the energy level in this room. It was great. So thank you all so much. Next item is the ad hoc nominating committee report. So it's my pleasure to turn to the chair of the committee, Commissioner Spearing, for his report.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. The ad hoc nominating committee comprised of myself, Commissioner Kinsey, and Commissioner Tissier. We conferred and we submit the following nomination for chair of the commission for the first 2 years of the 2015 through 19 term, and that's Commissioner Dave Cortese. And, Madam Chair, at this time, I'd like to move to close the nominations for chair of the MTC.
Okay. Second. There's a motion by Commissioner Spearing to close nominations for the position of chair of the commission, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now I'd like to move that we appoint Commissioner Dave Cortese as the new chair of MTC.
Second. And that's moved by Commissioner Spearing, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Congratulations, sir. Here you go, sir. There you go.
Hopefully I won't need this too often.
All right.
No, it's a good commission. You won't have to.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and it's quite an honor, and I know that we have a lot of irons in the fire, but rather than talk about those right now and all the good work that we will be doing over the next couple of years, I want to first thank Amy Rainworth for her tremendous job over the last couple of years navigating this commission through a lot of unexpected issues as well as a lot of things that we just simply had to take on that we've never had to take on before, especially on the planning side. So, Amy, we would like to make a little formal presentation to you, and we have a resolution that goes along with that. So if you can join me at the podium now, we'll get right to that. Well, Amy, again, besides all the hard work and excellent leadership, I've enjoyed working with you. It's been really enjoyable to be vice chair while you've been chair, but I know I speak on behalf of all the commissioners who have had the great experience of working with you on this commission over the last couple of years. And we have a couple of things to present to you. Now, you can or, you know, decline to open that right now, but I'm going to tell everyone what it is anyway.
Okay, well, maybe I should.
You want to open it?
Open it.
Open it up.
kind of Christmas when you asked. I'm hoping it's what it's. I'm hoping what it might be.
A bolt from the Bay Bridge.
Little podium here. Oh yeah. Oh great. Oh, thank you very much. There you go. That's great.
Ceremonial gavel.
Thank you so much.
And in addition to that, as an acknowledgement for all the lives that you've been positively impacting over the last couple of years and beyond, and I think that video was a great way to segue into this. You've just been a wonderful public servant when it comes to impacting people, young people, and the lives of people who need a voice in this region, in this community. So let the flowers represent that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, if I can ask for a motion to approve Resolution 4178, which I am holding in my hand here.
Second.
It's a motion by Spearing and a second by everyone. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none opposed, and there's no abstentions. Amy, I want to present this to you. I know you have your hands full, so I'm going to hang on to it for a moment. And I'm not going to read it all, as usual. This is a lengthy resolution, and it doesn't even begin to, even at that, even at great length, doesn't begin to acknowledge all of your accomplishments. But let me touch on a little bit of what this says. Whereas Amy skillfully captained MTC and BATA through a historic period that included the integration of two new commission positions, adoption of the region's first ever unified transportation and land use plan, two separate BART strikes, and the continuing redevelopment of the 375 Beale Street building in San Francisco. And whereas Amy is an intrepid traveler whose voyages have taken her to virtually every corner of the globe, an enthusiastic student of Spanish whose fluency is now so great that her car radio FM presets include both Radio Estrella Sol and Radio Romantica. We were kind of hoping to hear a little of that Spanish on that video earlier, but maybe you can grace us with some Spanish when you make your comments. Whereas through her travels, Amy has not only honed her shopping skills and amassed a world-class kimono collection, but has also developed an incredible ability to convince her traveling companions that their lives, too, will be enriched by the purchase of long, wide-sleeve robes. And whereas Amy's political skills are built on a foundation of natural warmth and gregariousness, and buttressed by an apparent ability to remember the name of everyone she meets, now, therefore, be it resolved that the staff and commissioners salute Amy for her tireless leadership, her cooperative spirit, and her commitment to teamwork, and look forward to many more years of her service as an MTC commissioner. Please join me in giving Amy a big round of applause.
Well, Dave and everyone, thank you for your wonderful support and warmth and those beautiful words and gifts. And I shall think of everyone often with that gavel on my desk. And, it's such an honor. It has really been a tremendous joy and honor to serve with all of you and to serve as your chair these last couple of years. As Dave mentioned, you never know what is going to come your way when you take on a position like that. And I was eternally grateful for my chemistry professors at Berkeley that taught me about hydrogen. So when Steve called, I had a little bit of a glimmer as to the challenges we were facing. But, you know, I just want to thank you all so much. It's been such a joy to work with all of you. You know, when I began my public career, Julie and I worked together on libraries, and at that moment I learned how important and really regional cooperation is, whether it's cities working together, counties working together, or an MTC where we're all working together. It is truly the way we are going to address and solve the challenges and problems and improve the quality of life for the people in our region. And I just want to thank each of you for your incredible dedication to this. You all have tremendous, you know, responsibilities at home and in your own counties, and then take on that extra responsibility of looking regionally and working cooperatively. And I think the things that we've been able to do in the last number of years, and really the history of this commission, is working cooperatively. As the chair, one of the real privileges is working closely with the staff, and I really want to extend my appreciation to the MTC staff that I was able to work closely with over the last few years, and also a particular thanks to the executive support staff, who not only were so helpful in making sure everything ran smoothly, but they were also great Spanish tutors as I was practicing. But I just really want to thank you all, and I also want to thank the public, who is so engaged in this process. We did with SB 375 and Plan Bay Area, it was a new effort, and we brought in, you know, so many people were engaged in it, and it was wonderful to see people from around the region engaged in discussions about the future of our region. And particularly, as I mentioned earlier, watching the Yes Conference, I think we have a great future in our region, because we have so many young people that are getting involved. And again, I am so thrilled that Dave will be chair. He has been a superb vice chair. Dave, I want to thank you so much for your leadership and support, and you're going to have a wonderful 2 years. You're not, you know, who knows what will come your way, and it's a wonderful thing because our commission is so great. So thank you again for your wonderful support and wonderful words and kindness, and it's been a great 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
We do always traditionally hold open an opportunity for any commissioner comments. I think the standing ovation probably said it all, but if anyone would like the floor, I'm going to work my way back to my seat, as is Amy, but we'll start with Adrian Tissier and then continue on.
Thank you. You know, the old saying goes, God made the shoulders to fit the load. Well, I want you to know these last 2 years you've had very broad shoulders, because there's a lot that hit on your plate, and you did a yeoman's job in keeping it all together, keeping us all together, and really moving MTC forward. So I really appreciate, and you even dragged me on a tour of the new building a week or so ago, so she never stops. But thank you, Amy, for your great work. You've done a tremendous job, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in too. Steve Kinsey, Commissioner from Marin. Amy, I do think that Commissioner Tissier hit it when she said that you had the big shoulders for big jobs, not only the building, but obviously opening that Bay Bridge and taking the responsibilities with us for its long-term success. And then Plan Bay Area, which, as you say, an engaged public, but it was actually quite an agitated public too. And it took someone with your grace to guide us and the whole Bay Area community through these few years. You've done a wonderful job. Thank you.
Commissioner Glover, and then McKenzie.
Thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge my colleague from Contra Costa and the great work that has taken place over the last couple of years, whether we're talking about Plan Bay Area, the Caldecott Tunnel, the Bay Bridge, the building, so many things. And Amy, you have handled this just great. And so I want to congratulate you and thank you for being a great colleague to work with.
Commissioner McKenzie.
Mr. Chair, it's always my pleasure to acknowledge my parking lot companion. Amy's late is on her Miata MX-5. She, of course, was so inspired by finding my Miata wee car parked in the parking lot that she immediately went out and bought her wee car, which she called Amy's late. I've never noticed her being that late before, Mr. Chair. She always seems to be pretty much in time as far as I'm concerned. But the main thing to say to our outgoing chair, what a grand job you did. Well done.
Amy, it's been such a pleasure working with you in the last 2 years. One of the things that I've learned is how you are so patient and so kind at the dais to everyone that comes forward, and usually that doesn't happen in a lot of government entities, and so I really appreciate how you made the public and everyone else feel so welcome with just your smile, your graciousness. So thank you for leading us and showing an example.
Yes, Commissioner? Halstead?
Thank you. I was prepared to say something quite similar to that, but I'd just like to add that your warmth and humanity come across so clearly to people. Everyone feels very, very welcome when you're running things, and your accomplishments are enhanced by that. We really thank you for adding that to the Commission's agenda.
Commissioner Spearman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also, Amy, all the years that I've served on the commission, I don't know of any chairman that has to deal with two major issues, such as the building and the move, and not only the building, but the trying to bring the regional agencies together. I think it is something that we've been talking about for years, and under your leadership, I think we're about ready to do that. And then the work you've done for the Bay Bridge. The Bay Bridge, that process started when I was chair, to give you an idea how long that's been around. And but the work that you've done behind the scenes, and I'm sure the staff would certainly recognize that, you're just tireless. And I very few times I've come down here where you haven't been here working on something. And so I just want to personally thank you for your leadership. The commission has been well served, and thank you.
Commissioner Campos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't repeat everything that's been said. The only thing that I would say is that it takes a very special person to have such a diverse and eclectic group of people say the things that are being said about you, and I think you are that special person. I think the best way that I would summarize what you are is you're a class act.
Commissioner Pierce.
Thank you. As Amy mentioned, we started working together back in 2000, working on trying to pass a bond measure for sales tax measure for libraries, which failed by a very, very small increment. We feel Alameda's original pain in their measure, but we have worked together in transportation ever since, and it has been a true honor as president of ABAG to have worked with you, working on Plan Bay Area and all of the other issues that the two agencies had to work together on. And I think part of the reason that we worked so well together on those issues is because we knew how to have fun together, shopping and all those other things. So we knew the ins and outs of the politics around which we were trying to survive. And it has been a true honor. David's absolutely right. You are a class act. And I am proud to call you my dear friend.
Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations. So I don't want to repeat what's been said, but I agree with all of it. And, Amy, I have to also say I think we all have experienced coming on to the commission as a new commissioner where you really don't know a lot about what's happening and you're trying to figure it out, and it's just a whole different, unique thing. And I know that I was very lucky that when I came on, between you and Commissioner Tissier, both of you just incredibly welcoming, and you've always been very supportive. And the other thing one of the things I really love about this commission is I think this, in a lot of regions, or I know this happens sometimes within counties, there's a tendency for there to be tension between the larger cities and the smaller cities at times. But what I've seen on this commission, and I know you've really gone out of your way to foster this, is that tension is reduced. We all try to support each other. I'm very appreciative when the region as a whole recognizes the importance of supporting Oakland and San Jose and San Francisco, and I know we've tried to also support the needs of the smaller cities as well, and you've really fostered that kind of environment. And I love that you like coming in and having dinner in San Francisco, and the best for recommendations before, so please keep coming in. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you all.
Commissioner Giacopini.
Amy, I just wanted to, first of all, say ditto. But beyond that, I really appreciate your spirit, and I remember one of the first things that we did together was go to the Ed Roberts campus for the dedication, which was quite a while ago now. And, you know, your interest in finding out about the disability community and what was going on and you know, willingness to take a Saturday to do that, I really appreciate. I think that one of the things that was probably left out of the the proclamation is that you were one of the very first members of not just the commission but the public to drive through the Caldecott Tunnel at approximately 3:30 in the morning when it opened, and followed by a long session of conversation at Starbucks in Orinda. And that was very enjoyable. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, and I consider you a great friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for, again, your wonderful comments and the honor of serving with you on the commission as chair. I just thank you. Your comments mean so much to me, and it's really been a joy. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you again, Commissioner. And we're Commissioner Spearing?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to finish my report.
Oh, please do.
Okay, thank you. The Ad Hoc Nominating Committee leaves the nomination open for the position of Vice Chair of the Commission and will report back to the Commission at the March 2015 Commission meeting. The committee has two individuals that we want to sit down and talk with, and we just couldn't get that done between then and this meeting. So we will have that report at the March meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Spearing. We'll move on to the new chair's report, and I'm going to make it brief, and I'll be honest with you. I had some speaking points here in terms of identifying some of the challenges we're going to face and some of the opportunities, but the fact of the matter is, in a booming economy here in the Bay Area, we know that we are faced with tremendous opportunities, revenue streams perhaps that we haven't seen in a long time. But at the same time, the impact to our infrastructure, which is far, far behind in terms of quality and this commission's fix-it-first policies. So I think we all know what's out there in front of us. One of the reasons I'm so honored to chair this commission is because of the fact that we have such qualified, passionate, and dedicated commissioners here with expertise throughout the Bay Area. So I look forward to working with all of you in that vein. And I do think with cap and trade and a lot of the other things that are going on right now at the state level, that our relationships up there are going to be very, very important. So although it may sound like a personal note, I think it's a professional note as well, that I'm the first Santa Clara County commissioner to chair this commission since Jim Bell, who is now the chair of the state Senate Transportation Committee. In a perfect world, I would have liked to have had him here today, but we will be in constant dialogue with him, and I know he wants to work closely with us, as do many other members of the legislature here in the state of California. So we will, in a good way, take advantage of those relationships. That said, I'll conclude my remarks there, but I do want to note under the new chair's report that committee assignments are going to be a little bit up in the air until our next regular commission meeting on March 25th. But staff's passed out today a pink committee assignments sheet. What we'd like you to do with that is mark up your choice of committees, what you'd like to serve on or stay on, and return that to Rosie Leyva by the end of the meeting, if at all possible. At the March commission meeting, I will present the committee assignments for commission approval, and I'll do my best to accommodate requests that are made. Subject to your approval today, I'd like to appoint the current chairs and vice chairs of each committee as temporary committee chairs, vice chairs, and members to continue to serve on all committees as stipulated in the pink committee assignment sheet until the reappointment occurs on March 25th. So if I can have a motion to just carry those assignments forward until March 25th.
Second.
It's a motion by Campos, second by McKenzie. Any questions or comments about that? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, that carries unanimously. Thank you. We'll move along to item 5, which is the Policy Advisory Council report. Is Randy Kimmon here? She sure is. Please come forward. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Cortese. And I want to say on behalf of the PAC, thank you, Commissioner Wirth, for your service. It's really been a pleasure to work with you. And I do apologize. Our newly elected chair and vice chair couldn't be here last month. But being elected doesn't mean that our real jobs go away. So we were a little befuddled by how we were going to manage that, and we didn't. I do want to recap some of the issues that have come up in the last month or so. Our Equity and Access Committee met with Shimon regarding the travel survey plans, and we strongly support having these travel surveys done on a quicker turnaround basis because there's so many changing dynamics in the area, including but not limited to the rise of Uber and Lyft and private company shuttles. It's the shuttle buses that kind of stick out to us because we're not sure if they're responsible for the drop in transit ridership that we see in some areas or if they're displacing cars. But the one thing that occurred to me driving up here today and seeing dozens and dozens of shuttle buses transporting tens of thousands of people to the San Jose area was that's a resource for us for emergency evacuation, and it's something that we need to plug into our plans. So we look forward to working with Shimon further on some of these issues. And we do need hard data, not anecdotal data, on how this is all affecting us. I can tell you what it's like in my neighborhood to have five shuttle buses pull up, but that really doesn't mean anything and doesn't translate. The PAC itself has established an ad hoc committee to investigate extraction fees. And yes, they go to committee at the state level and they die, but we really feel that it's important for us as a state to generate the revenue that other states, I'm sorry, but if Louisiana and Alaska can generate billions of dollars on extraction fees, California deserves its share of these fees for our natural resources. So we're not going to just ask you to put that on your ledge agenda in the future. We're going to give you some hard data and who the supporters are so that we can actually get this through the door the next time. And I just want to say on behalf of the PAC that I'm really pleased that our discussion on cap and trade last month or at our last meeting led to some recommendations in a memo which were immediately incorporated into your memo, so I don't have to lobby for anything. It's kind of nice working with staff that is that on top of things and that responds so quickly. So that's where we're at right now.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks.
Let me just before you sit down, any questions for the chair of the PAC? Okay, thank you very much. And that was an informational report, so absent any questions or comments, we'll move on to item six, Executive Director's Report. And I know Mr. Hemminger is in Washington, D.C., as I recall, called to testify on something or another, but we'll call on Alex Bockelman to give us a report and maybe expand a little bit on Mr. Hemminger's whereabouts.
Thank you very much, and congratulations, Chair Cortese. And I also wanted to thank Commissioner Wirth for her leadership over the last 2 years as chair. You do have the executive director's report in front of you, so while Steve isn't here, he definitely made sure that you had a report before he took off to Washington. I wanted to just call to your attention a few items. One, in the personnel area, the promotion of Nick Rathel to director of a new technology services section. I think this really highlights the importance of technology for this agency as well as the region, and also the leadership that Nick has shown since he came to MTC about 2 years ago. I also wanted to, Chair Cortese already pretty much said it, but I did want to highlight that Steve, the reason he isn't here today is that he is testifying, probably testified this morning, in front of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee on the reauthorization of the Surface Transportation Bill. And I think you all know that that is set to expire in May, so his remarks are timely. They are included in his report as Attachment 1, where he really focuses in one of the areas, he really focuses on the importance of the metro regions for the region and that there should be more investment in that regard in the next transportation bill. I also wanted to just call your attention to the map of the month, which is behind Commissioner Baker. It's kind of hard to see because of the screen being down, but maybe on your way out you can take a look. It really, what it does is it shows Bay Area employment centers. It also shows tracts with longstanding poverty. It shows the regions of defined communities of concern, as well as priority development areas. And this opportunity index area, which is defined by the Kerwin Institute, which is out of Ohio State University. The idea of opportunity mapping is that residents of a metro region like ours are situated within a very interconnected web of opportunities that shape their quality of life. So you can kind of see when you look at it the very high opportunity areas and the more lower opportunity areas, but there's also with the transit access, there is a lot of connection between the two. So take a look at that map. And then lastly, I'll just note that in terms of upcoming events, the Washington, D.C. visits are coming up March 16th through 18th.
Any questions on the executive report? Okay. That, again, is an informational report as usual, and so we will move on to commissioner comments. Yes, Commissioner McKenzie.
Mr. Chair, congratulations on becoming the chair, and may your 2 years be less eventful than those which greeted the chair emeritus, or however one refers to past chairs. That being said, yesterday, Commissioner Spearing and I embarked on a voyage to our legislature, to Sacramento. We were ably guided in that by Deputy Executive Director Bockelman and the legislative duo of Rentschler and Long, plus associated lobbyists. I would say that we had definitely amusing meetings with Senator Witkowski and Senator Mike McGuire, highly engaged senators. But to me, the point I would like to bring in front of all of you is that we did have an opportunity to meet with both the chair of the Assembly Transportation Committee, Jim Frazier, who announced that he had been given the authority by the Speaker of the Assembly to convene a select committee on Bay Area transportation needs to include the 11 Assembly members that encompass our 9-county area, and that it is his intention that there be, I believe it is the word, Jim, informational hearings that would take place in each of the members' districts over the next period of time. He did not give us a schedule. I believe this decision had just been made. And if I might, Jim, ask you to relate our meeting with the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, Senator Bell. I had not met that grand gentleman. Grand, I think, is a proper word to use. But, Jim, maybe you could enunciate some of the things we learned from his lips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the fact that our chairman has a good relationship with Senator Bell. and out of all the meetings we had yesterday, I think Senator Bell, I really think, saw the big picture. He understands the amount of revenues it's going to take to maintain the system and to develop new programs that help us meet our greenhouse gas goal reductions. I think there's an awareness in the legislature right now on the needs of transportation and mobility, not only in the Bay Area but throughout the state. Just about every one of the legislators we talked to, it was a top priority for them. And so I think it's going to be a very robust discussion this next year. And I don't know if our staff, Alex, wants to comment or not, but it was a very good meeting with Senator Bell, and good understanding of what's going on in the region. He's looking to MTC for information and some guidance, and certainly through our chair we'll be able to provide that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just one last word, and this came out in a conversation, and this may be old news to you guys, I don't know. But I heard for the first time yesterday a very optimistic take on what is going to result in the cap and trade auctions, that in fact there's an anticipation up in Sacramento, I believe, that the amounts of money that are going to be realized this year are going to be considerably in excess of what was forecast in the budget discussions of last summer. And I'll just leave it at that. And thanks, staff, you know, for making this all happen. It was actually lots of fun, and there were amusing people we got to meet with. And so I had a grand day, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you both for sharing. I think it goes a long way toward public transparency to let everyone know how those meetings went. Commissioner Kinsey?
Thank you. Yes, I have from time to time reported to the full commission on the Richmond-Santa Fe bridge, and I think it's important to share some of the success and of the BATA Oversight Committee that moved these two important projects forward at our meeting this month. These are 2 4-year pilot projects on one bridge. One reestablishes the third lane on the bridge that existed historically, was there after the earthquake, but has been a shoulder on the bridge for the last 20-some years. The other extends the Bay Trail across the Bay Bridge, connecting Contra Costa to Marin County. These are really important projects. If you remember that the third lane on the bridge was presented to our commission as one of the Columbus Day strategies, it was intended to show how we can get more out of the same system and provide more opportunity. And what it will do is it will relieve traffic in both Contra Costa and Marin County commutes as far back as Highway 101. The important message for today, though, is that we need to continue to work closely with Caltrans. I want to thank District Director Sartipe for being supportive and participate with this. But this is going to be a true test of our Columbus Day commitment, because the original timeline for this project is three years. 3 years to reopen a shoulder on a bridge is unacceptable, not only to most commuters who are so frustrated, but also to major employers like the Bay Area Council and North Bay Leadership Council, who have really engaged and are helpful in this. Also, Assemblymember Levine is helpful in this. He has introduced AB 157, which is intended to provide the legislative support for a faster process. I think that after today's meeting, we would be asking Andy Vermeer, who's a project oversight, along with the rest of the MTC staff working on this, to work with Randy Rentschler and get together with Assemblymember Levine to see what kind of teeth we can put into that bill. He would welcome that and has made that clear. One last thing about this. I think that not only is it going to test us in terms of our willingness to push for more creativity and a greater degree of risk management, which is really what it's about, to get these projects to move more quickly. I wanted to point out that in my county there's been some controversy about the $30 million being invested in the bike pedestrian facility of the Bay Trail, questioning the cost-benefit, calling for additional studies to justify it. I think this is an important opportunity for our commission to understand and also to explain to the public that our commitment is to a multimodal transportation future Bay Area-wide. We're doing this everywhere we go, including on the new Bay Bridge. Biking and walking are part of this multimodal system, and it's where we have been making our investments across the board. It's healthy, it's clean, and it's a significant piece of this 350 miles of the Bay Trail, which is why I see it as an elevated importance for us. And then just to put it in context, we've just finished about $9 billion of investments in seismic retrofitting of these same bridges. The Richmond-Santa Fe Bridge had about $1 billion in retrofit work done. This $30 million pilot project needs to be put into that larger regional context. And as a pilot, it gives us all an opportunity to actually do what studies never do, and that is to watch and observe real-life activities over these next 4 years. So I did want to thank the commission, but also put us on notice. notice that we still have work to do, and that the work that we're doing on this bridge will help us system-wide to work with Caltrans and others to come up with expedited ways of moving these projects forward at a time that that's so critical. Thank you.
Hey, Commissioner Kinsey or Haggerty, has AB 157 made its way through our legislative committee yet?
I don't believe that it has.
So but we could just take it. I'm just asking if the bill has made it to our legislative committee, and I because Commissioner Kinsey is just talking about our future follow-up on that bill, and clearly that would be the place to do that, so it could be brought back here at some point.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, just for the record, we did have an opportunity, staff and myself, to meet with Levine's staff yesterday afternoon. And we, as the assembly member left his office, we did utter the phrase Richmond-Santa Fe Bridge. So, but we did do follow up as well as part of our meetings yesterday.
Yeah, thank you. Commissioner Rainworth.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, Mr. Chair, in response to your question, too, sending a letter to signed it, you know, sent a letter. It came to me a couple of days ago to send Assemblymember Levine indicating our appreciation and support and willing, you know, desire to work together on that. I think it's important also to note, thank Commissioner Kinsey for his leadership on this, and I think it's also important that this project represents some very important safety improvements on the eastern side of the bridge, moving the bikes that are currently on the freeway itself onto a protected bike path and on the side of the freeway, as well as making the traveling lane safer given the fact that there's that sharp turn. So I think there are some really significant improvements that are going to be made as a part of this project for the traveling public.
All right, any other general commissioner comments under item 7? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 8, which is our consent calendar. We can entertain a motion on consent.
Move to approve.
The motion and a second. All in favor signify by aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Consent calendar passes unanimously. Committee reports. Item 9 is our administrative committee. I'll go to Commissioner Tissier for that report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The administration committee met on February 11, 2015, and referred the following item to the commission for its approval. MTC Resolution Number 4173, which is a statement of investment policy. The policy includes one modification, the requirement that both the executive director and the treasurer sign any agreements to open financial accounts. I move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4173.
Is there a second? A motion and a second. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution number 4173 passes unanimously. Item 10 is the Programming and Allocations Committee. Commissioner Glover is the chair. I will turn to him for that report.
Mr. Chair, we met on February 11. We had three items before your day for approval. MTC Resolution number 3837 revised and 4177 revised. I would move approval of Resolution 3837 revised and 4177 revised.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any comment or questions? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? All right, 10A passes unanimously. Item 10B.
Next item is Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities. Programs and adoptions for regional principals and reviewing projects. Again, I move approval of regional principals and the revisiting projects through the AHSC programs.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. There's a second by Commissioner Spearing. Commissioner Schaff.
Thank you.
I would ask the makers of the motion to consider one small modification to the stated policy. I appreciate that staff addressed the Joint Policy Commission's recommendation to include more specific language about avoiding displacement and gentrification. And, you know, I note that on Attachment A, item number 3, the highlighted language added prioritizes projects providing both a greater share and total number of affordable units to address concerns about community stability. However, what I would request that we add also as a criteria is that prioritization points should be given to projects that have both anti-displacement strategies and deep affordability. Because it's not only the number of units that we're producing, but it is the affordability levels of those units that also should be taken into consideration as we're looking to allocate these funds. And so I would ask respectfully that the maker of the motion and seconder add that we also give prioritization points to projects that have both anti-displacement strategies and deep affordability.
Yeah, let me just before the maker of the motion, Chair Glover, responds. Just let me give staff an opportunity to respond if they have a response or if there's something they need to look at more deeply there.
Thank you, Chair Cortese. I definitely appreciate the sentiments of the addition. I think one of my concerns without having a little bit more time to look at it is whether or not we can easily, or not easily, but whether we can discern through the application this information in order to fairly provide sort of additional prioritization for projects that meet the anti-displacement strategies or deep affordability. There would have to be sort of a way that we're defining that a little bit better. So I would want a little bit more time to look into it.
Do we have more time in terms? I'm sorry. Do we have more time in terms of the process on 10B here?
We're coming back to the commission in May with a prioritized list, so we could potentially come back with adjustments in March to this criteria. Between now and then, we do have to look at the projects on whether they're supportive of the sustainable community strategy, but that doesn't relate to this issue. So I think we could come back in March. I just want to make sure that we could do this. And I think the other point is that our current practice wasn't going to necessarily assign points, but give sort of prioritization or preference for projects that meet the criteria that we have listed. So I would also say that rather than sort of assigning points, that if we do add something along these lines, that it would be more that we're just providing some prioritization for projects that meet this. But I just want to make sure that we can kind of define what this is a little bit better.
So we do have a request for a friendly amendment on the floor, and let me just ask if it would be agreeable to everybody involved in this motion to refer this item back to committee, have it brought back and back to the committee and to the commission in March so that staff can analyze how to take these other priorities into account.
So that I'm very clear, Alex, are we saying that bringing this back in March does not impose a problem?
So I think the...
Or is there language that you would like to maybe impose today?
I think the only concern is that we're not letting the sort of the applicants know what the regional position is. But other than that, I don't know that it matters to wait till March. I guess one idea was whether you could approve this now with direction to staff to come back in March to look at adding this other language, just so that there's something on the books with respect to what the region's criteria would be.
It seems like that's agreeable to the maker of the motion. Let me go back to the maker of the friendly amendment and ask if she supports that direction.
I certainly can support that. It was not my intent to slow things down, and so just two things. One, you know, if taking out a reference to points, that's not a problem at all. Just the idea that this should be added to the criteria that is looked at as we prioritize projects, I think that would satisfy the intent of what I brought, if that makes this easier. And then the second thing I would add, is that with regard to the deepness of affordability, that actually is very easy to ascertain because
you know, projects will say what the AMI is, you know, what the qualifying AMI is for the project. And there is a significant difference between projects that are for very, very low income, you know, AMIs and, you know, low or moderate. And so I think, you know, that's very easy to ascertain. So, again, I leave it to the chair, the makers of the motion, whether you want to try and work out some language today and move forward with this or whether you'd like to bring it back. But those two changes would certainly still meet my needs.
I think the recommendation, if I'm hearing it right, and I think since that Commissioner Glover supports that as a motion, is to move the item, but with the additional direction to give staff the opportunity to respond to the best way to handle these additional criteria by March.
I have to say that makes me a little bit nervous because that seems to be dismissing this change. I don't think these changes are very significant, particularly if we're not referencing points. So it would be my hope that you either delay the entire adoption or you add this language today.
Let me just clarify from past experience here that I think what we're hearing from staff is they want to continue to keep the item moving while concurrently coming back with that information. So we will have, let me ask Alex, can you assure the commission that we would have an opportunity to for an up or down motion in March on adding those criteria without having to worry about?
I can certainly assure that we could bring it back, but I do appreciate Commissioner Schaff wanting this to go forward now. So obviously the commission has to take that, you know, decide on that. I think she's right on the deep affordability. I do feel more confident that on the applications I could definitely ascertain that. I'm just not sure in terms of the various anti-displacement strategies and how that is going to be looked at in the application process. So anyways, I can certainly assure that we can agendize this again in March, but if the commission would like to go forward now with adding these, we'd certainly do our best to use the information we have in the application material to look at these two issues.
Okay. Commissioner Glover, the other way to handle it then is to move the item with these new criteria, but to have a report back in March as to
yes,
and staff's ability to deal with him.
And that would be my motion, to move it forward, but to come back in March with that information.
I'm sorry, could you clarify the, because I can't vote on the stated criteria unless the issue of deep affordability has been added. So, and that's fine, it probably will pass. But I just want to be clear whether or not deep affordability is being added as a criteria today.
It's not being added as the criteria today, but it would come back. The way that my motion is that it would come back in March.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I'll have to vote against that then.
And do we? So we have a second. The motion and the second stand, as I understand it. Commissioner Wiener?
Thank you. So I have just two questions, and one of which I discussed with Mayor Schaff briefly before the meeting. In terms of when we talk about prioritizing deep affordability, I guess the question is, because I think it's really important that we have, for example, very low income, whether it's, you know, 0 to 30 or whatever that is, low income, maybe more in the 50-60 range, and then moderate income. So I think we need to be addressing each of those levels. And when you say prioritization, so if you have a project that's at, say, 0 to 30, and you have another project that, say, is at 40 to 60, just to throw numbers out there, does that mean that the 0 to 30 would automatically go ahead of the 40 to 60, or simply saying that we need to make sure that as we're evaluating projects that we're addressing each of the levels?
Through the chair, I would, you know, refer to staff, but my understanding is that you have several criteria that you are taking into account as you prioritize projects, and the deepness of affordability would be one of several criteria that would be taken into account. I'm not suggesting that this would, you know, be ahead of all other criteria that has been stated, but that it just be added as a criteria that is considered.
Okay, because I think that it's And I agree that it should be, to the chair, that it should be added as a criteria. I would want just a little more detail about how that evaluation would play out, because we're not even talking about, sometimes we have discussions about moderate income versus low income, or having the two, but even within the broad range of low income, there are different very important levels, and so I want just a little more clarity about how that would actually play out in practice, because we know that also staff will play a key role in actually implementing that, and I would want to understand from staff how they would envision that playing out. And the other question that I have is, I'm very used to the discussions around affordable housing funding within San Francisco, but when we're talking about funding at a regional level, since we have this area median income that applies, say, both to Oakland and San Francisco as well as other areas, and clearly there are differences among localities both in terms of cost of living, earning the same amount, say, making $15 an hour in Oakland and San Francisco, you probably experience some slightly differing costs of living. And and also we have a higher minimum wage, for example, than some other areas. So I'm just wondering how that, and I know not Oakland, I'm not saying that, but then other parts of the region, there are differing minimum wages. And I'm just wondering how that plays out regionally when we talk about the AMI that we all share, even though there are different costs of living in different cities.
So I just
don't know the answer to that, and I'm just curious.
Commissioner, I'm not prepared to give you an answer either on that right now, unfortunately. I just don't have enough information, so I'd have to get back to you on that in terms of how that might look if we did the evaluation based on AMI.
So I will just say that my suggestion along the lines of what Mayor Schaaf suggested is, if it would not be harmful, it's because these issues are, you know, require some additional digging and elaboration. Would there be an issue with just continuing the whole item 1 month, and then just having a report back and different options, and then we can address it in a month? Because I understand the concern with moving it forward without the amendment today.
So where we are procedurally is that was requested of the maker of the motion as a friendly amendment, and the friendly amendment was declined. And I think staff indicated some concern about timing, but indicated that they would use their best efforts to bring back the analysis that you're seeking in March, in case any adjustments still need to be made to this item. But I want to go back to, I know we have Commissioner Weiner, if you're done, I'd like to get the other comments on this motion, and if there's anything else procedurally we need to take up, other motions, that we'll do so. Commissioner Campos?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I really want to thank Commissioner Schaaf for bringing up this issue. This is actually something that I have to say that I'm grateful that you caught something that I think we should have thought about at the committee level, while I understand and I'm very appreciative of the normal course of business that, you know, when you have something like this, you move the item forward and you come back to it. What's unique about this for some of us, because of what's happening in our district, is that this very issue goes to the heart of the thing that's being discussed the most, and that's the issue of the level of affordability. I think that I certainly would be more comfortable if we continued the item altogether instead of actually voting on something, because I do find myself in the same position as Mayor Schaaf, that given how critical this issue is to the discussion that's happening in San Francisco and the district, voting for something that doesn't take into account the level and the deep level of affordability could be something that many of my constituents would be concerned about. The other thing that I would say is, and I appreciate the feedback from staff, I am worried, actually, in a way that I wasn't before, more about going forward without including this following the comments from staff, because this isn't rocket science. Finding out the level of how deep the affordability is not a complicated thing. And I actually think this is a very minor amendment. And so I worry about whether or not that issue will be taken into account to the full extent that it needs to be taken into account. And because of that, I think it's important that the commission actually weigh in on it. So I would ask that we hold off on taking action. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Pierce, and then Commissioner McKenzie, but Chair, if you need to interject something as the chair of the committee, I can allow that.
If I could, in all respect to my colleagues, if this does not impose a problem for the commission in moving forward, I would withdraw my motion and ask for a continuance until March.
I'll second.
That's a second to the motion. I agree with that. This item needs to be discussed.
Okay, so the original motion was withdrawn to move the item. The motion now is to continue the item 1 month.
Yes.
And that was made by Commissioner Glover, and Commissioner Rainworth has seconded that. So let me go back to comments on this motion. Commissioner Pierce.
Yeah, I understand both the reason for the motion to go forward today with direction and Mayor Schaaf's suggestion, I think, is a really worthy one that should be included in some form. I think, however, we're looking at a tight time frame for what the state is doing, and the applicants have to have their applications in very quickly. And to give another month before we establish what our criteria is going to be for evaluating those, I think is a little unfair. So I actually think the original motion to go forward today with strong direction that could be included in the criteria to say that we are going to consider adding this as a criteria and how to format that, even direction that it be included, but the way that it would be included in the evaluation criteria be added next month. I think it would only be fair to our applicants to make sure that they know that that's what's coming. We have in the packet here a timeline, and on March 11th, the state is going to invite selected applicants. They've already got some of their general stuff in there. Their general applications have already been submitted. They're going to be choosing a group, and the final applications are due by April 15th. If we don't act on this until the end of March, these applicants don't know how we will be evaluating the ones locally. And I think that's a little unfair, if I'm understanding the timetable correctly. And I would ask staff to tell me if I'm misunderstanding that schedule.
Commissioner, you're reading the schedule correctly, but again, our role is advisory, so the applicants are really submitting applications against state criteria. So I think if the commission wants another month, I think that the commission can take another month. So, I think we can work with either direction that the commission wants to do. I mean, I hear your point, and that was part of what I was trying to express, that it's nice for the applicants to know our position, but our role in evaluating these projects is to give a regional endorsement if we'd like, but it is advisory to the state, and it's not the final say. So I think there is a little latitude to go either direction on this.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner McKenzie?
If there's any thunder to be stolen, Commissioner Pierce just stole mine, and so I join with her in the way that she raised the question of the calendar. I listened carefully to what the staff had to say, so I'm still comfortable with the motion on the floor.
Yeah, the current.
I'm still comfortable with the motion on the floor. I do understand that is to continue, and I believe I heard from staff that it would be possible for us in our advisory role to continue for a month. That was how I heard staff's comments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. That's the motion to continue in order to evaluate the additional criteria for 1 month and bring it back to the commission. We do have a motion and a second. That would be Glover and Rainworth. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Commissioner Weiner.
And I support continuing this. It's just one option if it were, if 1 month were a problem. We do have the option of having a one-item special commission meeting at the Wednesday committee hearings. I know we've done that occasionally. And if it can wait a month and it's not an issue, I think we should do that. But if there were concerns about that, that's another option. And I also just want to say, whether it's whatever the length of the continuance is, I really would like further fleshing out of the two issues that I raised, just so we have all of that on the table.
Okay, motion is for a 30-day continuance, but of course that includes a stop at the committee, which is sooner than the end of March. I just want to clarify that. So the motion is second. Any other comments or questions? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None opposed. No abstentions? That passes unanimously.
We have one other item before you, and that's MTC Resolution 4172. I would move approval of Resolution 4172.
As a motion and a second on Resolution 4172, again, Commissioner Shaw.
I'm sorry, this is my activist day. again, I very much appreciate, this is regarding the shares for projects benefiting disadvantaged communities, correct? Just a little aspirational hope. The current policy suggests that MTC is proposing a programming goal of 25% for projects benefiting disadvantaged communities, and that's the actual minimum requirement. And it seems that as a commission, we should set a goal that is slightly higher than what the minimum requirement is. You know, MTC's measure communities of concern includes approximately 20% of the Bay Area population. Thus, a programming goal of 25% is not significantly greater than the baseline population share. And so, you know, I would just suggest for discussion that for our goal to have real meaning, it should be higher, something like 40%, which, you know, would be double the population share. And again, that's just a goal. It's not a requirement. The requirement still remains at 25%. But it just seems that as a commission, we should try and be a little more aspirational in serving our communities of concern. So that would be for your consideration. Thank you.
A staff response, please.
In our regional policies, we were trying to make the distinction between the state definitions of disadvantaged communities and using our communities of concern. So we hadn't really addressed the issue of what percentage of the region's applicants should be in communities of concern. We were just, the CTC requires us to make any changes from their policy, so we were trying to make the point that we would use our communities of concern rather than the state definitions. But if the commission would like to add sort of a target for communities of concern, I think we weren't trying to say that our goal was 25%, just that was the state minimum. Obviously, in the past, it's been much higher than that. So we just didn't have a stated percentage. But if the commission would like to add that, then we could do that.
Yep. So, yes, Commissioner Kinsey.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it'd be helpful, Alex, if you could just clarify the difference between the states and ours. Ours is a broader definition, which allows more communities to be considered than the state definition. Is that correct?
That's generally true, although I got to say there's different definitions for different programs. So the one that's really narrow is the one for the program we were just talking about, the Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities. For the Active Transportation Program, I think there's that definition, plus there's definitions based on school lunch eligibility. There's various criteria, so I can't speak exactly. I haven't looked at the map that overlays all of them. But generally, our communities of concern, we feel, using the seven-factor analysis, is broader than a lot of the state definitions.
Right. So to the commissioner's point, then, I don't think that this is the right place to put in a target number myself. I think that we should stay with it as proposed and encourage the applications to come forward and use
all of the criteria to take a look at that. So I'm comfortable with it as it's proposed. Thank you.
I don't want to speak for Commissioner, but if you can clarify, it sounded like you were asking for aspirational language that would just say that we would attempt to exceed the state minimums in terms of community of concern as opposed to a rigid number, but you can clarify?
So the language that I'm referring to is on page 4, and it's under the subtitle of ATP Regional Shares. It's a language about Appendix A2, and the last sentence says, Appendix A2 also includes MTC's 25% programming goal to projects benefiting disadvantaged communities. And if, you know, I heard the commissioner's concern that maybe we're not prepared to set a goal today, and maybe my concern would be addressed if instead of using the word goal there, we struck that and said requirement, and we could acknowledge that today we're not setting a goal, but that we're referring to the requirement, and that what we're attempting to do is to impose our own definition, but that this is not our goal, but this is just how we're defining the requirement. Would that would probably kind of satisfy me, and then we could address the issue of goal at another time, because that's what I think I heard the commissioner request, and I think that's reasonable.
Staff definitely supports that as being more consistent with what we were trying to do. This was really the requirement, not a goal, so I'd be very comfortable with making that change.
Again,
I think it's on page 4 of attachment A to the resolution.
Yes.
I believe. Oh, no. Yes.
It's
under
the third,
ATP regional share.
Yeah, it's the third paragraph, ATP regional shares, the last sentence.
Programming requirement.
Instead of goals. I think that would create the clarity I was looking for. Thank you.
Maker of the motion is fine with that.
Could I get a clarification then? So on that item, it says, Appendix 2A also includes MTC's 25% programming goal, and what are we going to change that to?
I think staff said they were fine with referring to that as requirement.
But I don't think we should say MTC's requirement. I think we should refer back to it as the state's 25% minimum requirement. I probably need to write out the language. I mean, we can get it right, but really we're not trying to say it's MTC's It's the state minimum requirement.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do is clarify, and I think you can figure it out. But thank you, I appreciate that. That I think that does solve my problem.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Kinsey has a force.
Well, I just wanted to confirm that we should be clear. So what we're saying is then that we're going to refer to it as the state's 25% minimum requirement or something of that nature. Okay. Thank you.
And just for the, again, procedurally, the maker of the motion and the second have both agreed to that change thus far. So,
but they didn't know the language that they were agreeing to. I'm trying to get us right down to what we're talking about, since we're going to take it up at this level.
It's been further clarified. Thank you for that. Commissioner Baker?
Yeah. So if we're going to make changes to that language, I don't know if the maker of the motion wants to consider making a change. The page before it says MTC will exceed the 25% programming goal.
Yeah.
So that
the state's 25.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah. So
I would propose that staff go through the document and make sure that we make all changes necessary. Even Appendix A2 might need slight adjustments just to make sure we're clear on the spirit of what we intended and what the commission is asking for. So we will do that.
Okay. Does the motion take that into consideration? Okay. That's what the motion includes, the staff going through and modifying the document based on the comments made today and a specific recommendation of Mayor Schaub. Any other comments or questions on the overall item here? Okay, seeing none, we have, again, a motion and a second. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? That carries unanimously. I'm going to do something out of order, but I think it's still appropriate. 10B, we had a speaker card that came in, and I missed it. And because that item is going to be coming back, I think it's appropriate for you to speak on it. We certainly don't want to exclude you from your opportunity. Yeah. So, floor is yours.
I appreciate that. It was actually my fault, not yours. I got it in late, so thank you for doing that.
And your
that.
Name for the record?
David Zisser. I'm with Public Advocates. I want to thank, on the item about the AHSC program, I want to thank Commissioner Schaff for bringing that amendment. I think it's really good, and I think it's a great that you all are continuing that item to consider those changes. I just want to point out for staff, you all probably know this, but there in the AHSC guidelines, there is a point provided for anti-displacement strategies. So one simple way to prioritize projects that have anti-displacement strategies is to look at applications that receive that point. That's on the anti-displacement piece. On the deep affordability, I think, you know, there was a lot of thoughtful discussion and more consideration about how to measure that, but there are also points given for different levels of AMI affordability that can point you all in the right direction. So just wanted to thank you all, and it's a good development. So thanks.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience. We're going to move now to item 11, which is a planning committee report. Commissioner Spearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 4174, a joint meeting of the MTC Planning Committee and AVAG's Administrative Committee held on February 13th to discuss the final draft MTC Public Participation Plan. The resolution and attachments include edits as discussed at the meeting, including the addition of 25 Bay Area transit operators listed at the request of the Federal Transit Administration. It was a very robust discussion, and I move approval of Resolution 4174.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. We do have one request from the public to speak specifically on 11A, and that's Ken Bukowski.
Hi, just one comment on the public participation process. I would like to see the commission ask the staff to include in the minutes of your meetings a reference to the video. They're being recorded. I'm donating the time. And I think it would be very helpful for people to have access to the video when they look at the minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again for being here, Ken. So we have a motion and a second. Any further comment, questions? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? 11A, resolution number 4174 passes unanimously. Item 12 on our agenda is the Legislation Committee, chaired by Commissioner Haggerty. So we'll turn to him for that report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congratulations on your ascension to the leadership of this body. For those of us who have chaired this commission, we know what an honor it is, and it's never easy. And I think Chair Wirth was definitely ambushed by several items in her chairmanship. The only advice that I'll give her on the way out the door is in that box is more than just the gavel for those of us who have it. There's also a glass plate, so I would suggest you make sure you pull that out too and not break it. The Legislative Committee met on February 13, 2014 and referred two items to the Commission. AB 4 lender prohibits until January 1st, 2020, late fee revenues from being transferred from the state highway account to any other fund or account for the purpose of payment of the debt service on transportation general obligation bonds and would prohibit loans of late fee revenues to the general fund. I move approval to adopt and support the SEEK amendments on AB 4 lender to broaden the legislation to remove the sunset provision so the diversion ends permanently.
There's a motion, a second by Tissier. Any comments, questions? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you. One more, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 39, Pavley, would expand the number of clean air vehicle stickers the DMV is allowed to provide to plug-in hybrid vehicles to grant them access to high-occupancy vehicle lanes without the required number of occupants. I move approval. You got to listen to this one. I move approval to oppose SB 39 Pavley.
So motion, second by Gary. Pierce, okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. Heard a voice over there. Any other comments, questions on Senate Bill 39? I'm seeing no requests to speak. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed to the motion? Abstentions. So we will be taking an opposed position to Senate Bill 39. That passed unanimously. That brings us to public comment. We have two requests to speak on public comment. One is Ken Bukowski, and the other is Jerry Grace. Ken, you're passing? Thank you. Jerry, you're up.
Come on, everybody. And I see a lot of new faces. I know I saw a lot of you guys very well. And you don't know who I am. I am Jerry Grace. I'm here up and on. And I go to a lot of the meeting, but I'm here that not all the time, but I go to the other one. Other reason why I'm up here for something else. My birthday's coming up on March 19th, and I will be 48 this year. It's close, almost 50, but I'm not there yet. But I'm 48 right now. I'm coming up on March 19th. I'm going to be 48. And I don't know if this is true or not true, but what I'm hearing is Amtrak station in San Francisco look like they already moved. I don't know what's going on the first admission. And I don't know what is going on with the first admission station, I mean the building that were built for submission. And I wanted to get check on that to see what's going on with that. And I know that a lot of the buses and a lot of the buses still be down but all of the buses still be down there. And I don't know when the building be done. I don't know how the building done, but I've gone past a few times, and it's already under the ground in the woodlands, a lot of different places. San Francisco did a really good job on that that mayor rail, because I talked to someone about that and it, under the track, and I talked to someone about that once before. They did a good job of what they're doing. And, they do it very well, and the things that what I'm saying change a whole lot. But one thing I'm going to say this. One last thing before I get out of here. We need to do something about the car to stop being on top of railroad track. The car that broke down yesterday, the person just got killed by a train. You guys, I know you guys heard about it, but we need to do something about it, or what we need to do. Car need bolt down, or front of the car, train's coming. That's what we need to do something about it, and let you know now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for being here. That concludes public comment and our agenda, other than adjournment. So we'll now adjourn to our next regularly scheduled commission meeting Wednesday, March 25th, 2015, 9:35 a.m. right here. Those of you who serve on the Bay Area Infrastructure Financing Authority, please stick around. We do have a meeting at this time. And thank you all.